It is 1:30. This is KYR 89.1. I'm Daniel Breen. We're breaking into our programming this hour to bring you live coverage of Governor Asa Hutchinson's latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. Now we go live to Governor Hutchinson speaking today in Forest City. This is KYR 89.1.
We just previously had a very good meeting with some of the hospital education leaders here in the Forest City and Eastern Arkansas community with the mayor, the county judge, and we had a very good conversation about the challenges, but also the opportunities here in Forest City. I was delighted to be joined by Representative Reginald Murdoch, Mayor Cedric Williams, Senator Ron Caldwell, Senator Keith Ingram, Representative Steve Hollowell, and Judge Gary Hughes. Just some of those that we previously met with. And I wanted to invite Mayor Williams to come and to give a greeting as well. But I also wanted to recognize the birthday of Ruby Williams, the mother of the mayor, who is tomorrow 79 years of age. And I understand she is a regular follower of some of these news briefings. So Ruby, happy birthday to you. Mayor, thank you for your incredible support through this. I will tell everyone that on Saturday, we had 550 tests were done here in Forest City. 550. This is the most extensive testing done in any community since this pandemic began. And it happened right here because of the community, the support, and the leadership of the mayor. So, Mayor, I invite you to come make comment.
This is Forest City Mayor Cedric Williams. You're listening to KYR 89.1.
Thank you, Governor Hutchinson, and thank you, Dr. Smith, and thank you for your leadership throughout this entire project. Yes, we had a great testing here in the city of Forest City. 550 people came out to be tested this past Saturday. But it shows the true leadership, the partnership. I know you mentioned Representative Reginald Murdoch, but also Dina Petit with our local health officials, our local media, to where we all have a role to play in this, where we all sent the message out that this is very important that people come out and get tested for this virus. And so that's the results of that, and that's the results you'll continue to see as we move forward on this. Again, thank you for coming to our Forest City. We appreciate your leadership. We appreciate also the concern, the phone call, after we did receive an uptick in the cases here in Forest City. But again, we're keeping it six here, and we're all in this together. Thank you.
Thank you, Mayor. And I mentioned that we had 550 tests that were done here in Forest City last Saturday. And Dr. Smith, of course, led that effort through the Department of Health in a great partnership with the community. And we have not received all of the results in yet from the 550 that were tested, but we do have 290 results that are in, and of the 290 results, 24 were positive. And so I consider that's good numbers. The number that were tested, but also even the positivity rate is below the 10%, even though it's a little bit higher than the statewide average in recent weeks. Let me go to the statewide report now, if I might. And we can go ahead and put on the graph. On Saturday, the last time we had this daily update, we had 4,578 cases. And then on Sunday, we had 181 cases. Most of those in the 131 of those were in the prison environment. And that left 50 that were in the community. And so that brought the total to 4,759. And so since yesterday, moving to today, we've had an additional 54 cases. And that gives our total caseload right now in terms of positive cases to 4,813. During the last 24 hours, we've done 2,329 tests. Which again is good, marching toward the 60,000 tests in May, which is our objective. It's a 2.8% positivity rate statewide. In terms of hospitalizations, We had an increase of 12 that have been hospitalized. That brings our hospitalizations to 77. And our deaths have increased by 2, bringing our deaths to 100. If we could go, see, that's the number of new COVID cases. This is a new way to look at it. It's the same graph that we've had before, which is the 7-day rolling average. But this is week by week is what it is through the course of the week. And you can see at the height of the cases with the top line there, we had over averaged 160 some cases, but then we're down, of course, in the last 7 days to that average of about 60 or 58 cases. Go to the next slide. This is the number of currently hospitalized patients in Arkansas based upon COVID-19. You can see the downward trend. You can see the uptick that we've had with the 12 that's increased in hospitalizations. Go to the next slide. This is the number of active cases. And I mentioned that we had 4,813 cases statewide, but if you subtract from that, those that have recovered, that leaves you the active cases, and that puts the active cases, it looks like, at about 1,050 or something like that above the 1,000 mark. And then if you go the next one, this is just the Southeast region. So we're changing from a statewide graph to a Southeast region graph. And there's some educational benefit from this. You can see a little bit more where we are in the Southeast region. And this is the 7-day rolling average of new cases in the Southeast region. And you see the spike that's there, but the orange line is where the average is, and it's taken a good trajectory in the last couple of days. Next one, we see the number of currently hospitalized, and this is just in the Southeast region. Again, you can see where the peak was, and you know, these look like very tall graphs, but that's about 34 at the height. 34 hospitalized in the Southeast region, goes up and down on a downward trend, and whereas now we have about 12 that's hospitalized in the Southeast region. And then next you'll see this is the growth rate, and this is instructive to us because this is the growth rate of new COVID cases in Arkansas May 10th through May 16th by public health region. And so in central Arkansas, you got a 10% growth rate. Northeast, you know, about an 18. Northwest, you've got about a 21. And then in the Southeast, this is where you have about a 25% growth rate in that region over the last 6-7 days. And then the Southwest region is down a little bit from that. And so that tells everyone that we've made a lot of progress, but we've also done a lot of testing here. And of course, you can see that it had a somewhat of a spike in the number of cases, even though we like the positivity rate that has been demonstrated in the last few weeks particularly. I did want to make one announcement today before I bring it turned over to Dr. Smith. And that is, as I've indicated, we would make an announcement on bars. We've opened up the entire state of Arkansas in terms of retail shops and lifting restrictions so they can all be open. Now, some have limitations on size, like restaurants is still in phase one at 1/3 occupancy. But in terms of the bars, we had not opened that up. I'm announcing today that bars that are associated and in restaurant facilities, those bars can be open effective May 19th, which is tomorrow. Now, there's another type of freestanding bars, and those we want to give a little more time to make sure they're properly prepared and have the safety precautions in place. They will be allowed to open on Tuesday, May 26th, which is a week from tomorrow. So there's a week gap between bars that are in restaurant and bars that are freestanding and are not associated with a restaurant. And that then allows really every retail, every every shop to have the ability to open, even though we continue to be careful in our safety restrictions. With that, let me turn it open to Dr. Smith for his comments.
This is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
Thank you, Governor. It is good to be here in Forest City and to report out to you some of the numbers and the success of the testing program over the weekend. And I'm also going to encourage that people continue to come forward and get tested. I'd like to give a few more details on the numbers that the governor's provided. He's already mentioned that we had 54 new cases since yesterday. One of those was in a correctional facility, so 53 of those were from the community. So our total cases are 4,813. Of those, 1,068 are active cases. Of those 1,068, 378 are in correctional institutions, 99 are in nursing homes, and 591 are in the community. And we don't have any new counties today. The governor mentioned that we had a net increase of 12 in our hospitalized, so we currently have hospitalized 77 patients. Now that increase is a pretty substantial jump in the number of hospitalized cases. What we do know is that hospitalizations tend to lag about a week behind cases. And about the middle part of last week, we had quite a few cases that were reported. So this is not surprising. Fortunately, our number of cases have come down since then, and hopefully we'll see those hospitalizations come down as well. But we'll be watching that very carefully. We have 12 who are currently on a ventilator. That's no change from yesterday. And as the governor mentioned, we had two additional deaths, so we're at a total of 100 deaths in our state. We have 3,645 who have recovered, and that's an increase of 55 since yesterday. The governor has mentioned the success of the Forest City testing on Saturday. We had a goal of 500, and we exceeded that. We tested 550. And of those, as of about 30 minutes ago, we had 290 results. And as the governor mentioned, 24 of those were positive. We are expecting to have the rest of those completed by this evening. And I want to talk about testing for just a moment. Fortunately, in this county, in St. Francis County, we've done fairly well in terms of testing, in terms of numbers. For our entire state, we have tested 290 per 10,000 population. So as a per capita, 290 per 10,000. In St. Francis County, we've tested 762 per 10,000. And so that's more than twice for the per capita rate for the whole state. And in the Southeast region, we've also done well. We've tested 388 per 10,000, so considerably above the state average. Now, many of those tests have been in correctional facilities, but we want to continue doing a lot of testing. We want to find out anyone who's positive so that they can isolate themselves and that we can follow up on those contacts. Although we have done quite a bit of testing, I know there are some who are reluctant to be tested for various reasons. And I want to encourage people to come out if they think they may be at risk or would like to know their status. We have testing available in our local health units to make that as accessible as possible. And then the last thing I wanted to talk about is about hospitals. We had a brief conversation here about the hospital here in Forest City. And one of the things that are limiting many of our hospitals now is the confidence that people have to come to hospitals. And I want to point out that all of our hospitals in the state have taken great measures to protect their staff and other patients. Some of those hospitals are actually screening all patients for COVID-19 when they come in. Some of them are testing them for COVID-19 as well. And so our hospitals are not places to avoid for those who need them. They're places where people should come to get the care they need. And this has hit home very personally for me. Over the weekend, my mother-in-law we needed to take her to the hospital. She ended up being admitted to the ICU, but fortunately, this morning was transferred out, and she's doing well now. But when we went to take her to the hospital Friday evening, she said, "I don't want to go. I'm afraid of getting COVID-19. So we had to have a little bit of a, you know, sort of family discussion there. And I realized that there's a lot of people who are reluctant to get the care they need, whether it's in a hospital or whether it's in a clinic. And we want to encourage people to get the care they need. Our hospitals are doing a great job of putting in place those measures to protect the staff and other patients. With that, I'm going to go ahead and turn it back over to the governor.
Thank you, Dr. Smith. And before I turn over questions, I should add that the Department of Health will be issuing specific guidelines on the lifting of some of the restrictions, the timing of it in reference to the bars. Obviously, when you say you're opening the bars up that are in restaurants, that there's still restrictions that do apply in terms of social distancing and the space limitations. But this will be a welcome relief to those that want to be able to add to their capacity in the restaurants in this fashion. With that, be happy to turn it open to questions.
Right here, Governor. Joe Flaherty with the Democrat. Is that, can you explain how the state initially became aware of a breach with the pandemic unemployment assistance site? Because the Arkansas Times reported on Friday evening that it was actually a computer programmer who was seeking to apply, who made an effort to contact the Division of Workforce Services and also state police about the vulnerability, which kind of contrasts a little bit with what you said on Saturday, that somebody illegally accessed the site. So could you explain just when and how the state first became aware of that breach?
Well, I don't know that those are in conflict with each other, but in terms of how we became to know about it, all I can speak is for myself as to how I knew about, learned about it, and that came from through my office that notified me of this, then we started taking action. In time I was notified of it, the site had already been taken down because of the concern of the security breach.
Is this being treated as someone who actually reached the site and obtained people's information, or is it the case that the Arkansas Times kind of reported where somebody identified the breach and tried to bring it to the state's attention so that no one's information was actually obtained?
No, this matter is being investigated by the FBI, and my information is that the data was exploited. And so that raises serious concerns. That is the reason the site had to be shut down. And we're proceeding to make sure the site is in good security position so that we can resume our efforts to get the pandemic unemployment assistance to everyone who's applied for it.
Just one more thing. Do you have an estimate on when the site's going to go back online?
They worked over the weekend. They're continuing to work on that. We have a third-party vendor that's coming in to make sure that, or expert, I should say, that can go in and certify this to us that it is in a position to be secure and to go ahead and start taking the final weekly applications and getting the money out.
Alex.
I don't know that we know whether, we don't believe that the data was manipulated. In other words, where someone would go in and would change a bank account number, which is what criminals would do. We don't know that that was the case, but when you say exploited, I believe that is a technical term of art that includes visual seeing of somebody else's data. And so that is a concern to us, and that is what constitutes a breach. And that's the extent of what I know now. This is technical. We have technical experts that are working on this. The FBI is working on this. And so that's all the data, that's all the information that I can share with you that I know right now.
So exploited means the person saw the information, that's all that means?
That is my understanding of that, is that and which is exploiting whenever you're there and you see somebody else's data. And that's what triggers a concern.
Mr. Governor.
Yes.
What are you planning to share with our nation's leaders on Wednesday when you go to Washington?
I am honored to have the opportunity to go visit with the President and Vice President in the Oval Office Wednesday. This is at the White House's invitation, of course, and it's an opportunity to illustrate what people here in Arkansas are doing to open up the economy, to get back to business, to get back to work, but also how they have successfully lived through this and did all that they could to be safe during this time. Specifically, we also want to talk about the food processing industry in Arkansas that's so critical to our nation. We have over 60 processing plants in Arkansas, and we want to talk about the extraordinary job that they're doing in keeping our nation food supply in operation, which the President certainly has indicated is important to him. I'm sure there'll be many other things that are talked about, but those are a couple of things that are a good opportunity for us to showcase as to what we're doing here in the state.
Chairman of the Democratic Party of Arkansas is calling for a bipartisan committee to investigate both the pandemic unemployment assistance site and the Ready for Business grant program. Do you have a response to that?
Well, first of all, I think it's a shame that anybody would try to use the pandemic for partisan benefit and partisan attacks. I just think that is unnecessary, uncalled for, and looks. And whenever there's so many that are working together in a bipartisan fashion to seek solutions, I think that speaks very poorly that you engage in a partisan attack during this time. In fact, there was a bipartisan group of legislators that reviewed this in their last ALC meeting, Legislative Council meeting. It was bipartisan. They reviewed it. They expressed themselves. And so I think it's very disappointing that you would have this kind of partisan attack during a time when everybody is working very hard both for public safety, for our economy during struggling times, as well as trying to get assistance out to those people that need it. Yes, sir.
Does anyone here know if the, I know you're not federal, but does the federal prison have showers for the guards when they leave their shift to require all the guards to shower, leave their dirty uniforms behind, have clean clothes and shoes available, and on the first day, if they don't already, have the National Guard or Army Corps of Engineers build such showers and sanitize their vehicles on that first day?
Dr. Smith, are you versed on that?
And this is Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith.
I saw a prison guard at Walmart 2 weeks ago and didn't know if he was coming to or from work.
Yeah. I don't have any detailed knowledge of that. I would say with COVID-19, which is a respiratory pathogen, it's less a concern about what's on your clothes, more concern if someone is infected and they're walking around without a face mask, then that's a risk to those around them. So the emphasis really should be on identifying those who are infected, and those who are infected should be in isolation. If they have to go out, they should always be wearing a face covering to control the source of infection. And that's more important than things like showers.
Let's go remotely. Is there a question remotely?
Yeah, Governor, this is Andrew with AP. Want to ask about two areas. Going back to the PUA site, how big of a concern is it the vulnerability of the site, the fact that this was something that someone was able to access. How much are you looking into that flaw and problems with the vendor of the site? And going back to the announcement on bars, could you or Dr. Smith elaborate more on what exactly are we going to see in terms of the restrictions, social distancing rules for both restaurant bars and freestanding bars? And back to the question of how is this going to be enforced?
In terms of the PUA, whenever you look at any potential breach of data, it is obviously of great concern. This is personally identifiable information that's important to everybody who applies. They don't need to have this aggravation in life. They need to get the resources, they need to get the check, they need to get the financial assistance. So it's very concerning and frustrating. And that's the reason we're having to pull the site down. We're having to make sure that the data is secure and the system is functioning in the right way. That's the reason we're bringing in a third-party verifier to give us that confidence and assurance. You look back, the fact that this had over 30,000 applicants go on the site, put in their information, and yet it was a computer programmer that breached the system. And so, as to what does that mean in terms of the sophistication of the breach or the sophistication of the weakness? I think I'll wait and get a report from the experts as to exactly how that should be interpreted.
Hey, Governor.
Oh, I'm sorry. There was another part to that question. Dr. Smith, this is a question on the bars. Did you want to comment on that any further?
And again, Health Secretary Nate Smith.
The language in the directive for bars will be similar to what it is for restaurants in terms of physical distancing. In terms of enforcement, again, these are all licensed facilities, and so they will be expected to comply with those directives just like they are with all the other rules pertaining to their business. I would like to add, though, as I mentioned on Saturday, as we move forward, we're going to continue to have the guidance on physical distancing and these other things in our directives and guidance, but we're going to depend more and more on people taking individual action to protect themselves and to protect those around them and their loved ones, and as well as public health interventions like testing and contact tracing, and less on regulatory mandates. And that's just how we're going to have to deal with COVID-19 as long as we have evidence of COVID-19 spread in our communities. We're going to need to adjust our behavior individually and not count on someone looking over our shoulder to tell us what we know we need to do to protect ourselves and others.
Governor, this is Lindsay Miller with the Arkansas Times. On Friday, I alerted the Division of Workforce Services about the vulnerability on the PUA website after an applicant called the Times to notify us about the problem. This person only reached out to us after calling at least two state agencies first to report the issue. So can you explain what law you believe the applicant broke and why you see his actions in a negative light instead of as someone trying to help the state protect sensitive information?
Well, I'll make sure I can get all of the question. It's our requirement whenever we have a breach of a system or a data breach that we notify the insurance carrier. We want to make sure the proper steps are taken to protect personal identifiable information. We took those steps, as one of those steps is that we do report it to law enforcement so they're aware of the breach, so that they can put it in the context of any other cyber attacks that might be taking place, that this would add a piece to the puzzle. In this instance, they recognize this as something that should be investigated further. They are doing that. And as to specific laws that are violated, I think I would leave that to the law enforcement professionals to answer that question. But it is certainly something that whenever you go in and you manipulate a system in order to gain an access that you're not allowed to have permission to access, that is a violation of the security that we want to have in place on these systems, and it would be a violation of the law as well, I would think.
What about just the general public perception, though, of if you see something, if you see a vulnerability, shouldn't you report it?
Well, the question is, do you see a vulnerability or did you find the vulnerability? And I think we'll let the investigation speak for itself on those points. Any other questions? Yes.
What are your recommendations? Are all state parks
back open? Good question, and the question is about Memorial Day. First of all, I hope everybody has, it's good weather. I hope everybody enjoys themselves. Keep safe from a social distance standpoint. And yes, this Memorial weekend, our state parks will be open to RV campers. The lodges will be open, as well as some of the cabins. And so you go on the Department of Parks, Heritage, and Tourism website and get more specific information and make the reservations as is allowed there. So I encourage everybody to be safe and to make sure that they protect themselves, but also to enjoy themselves as well. Final, we've got a couple more questions here, and then we'll go to Alex. Yes.
Federal correctional facility here in Forest City had over 240 cases. It seems over the weeks that correctional facilities have been a problem here in Arkansas. And I'm sure you've talked about it over the last couple days and weeks, but what are you doing to make sure that correctional facilities are under control in terms of the spread of COVID-19?
Well, in terms of the ones that we are responsible for, Dr. Smith has the lead in it, working with the Department of Corrections. And we're making sure that there's isolation. We're making sure that they have the proper medical care. And a good reflection of that is that in the Cummins unit, we've had the vast majority recovered very well from it. In fact, we've done more testing in that environment than we would in the normal circumstances because it is a confined area. In terms of something very close here to Forest City, obviously the FCI here, this is under federal control and federal jurisdiction, and they have to make the judgments. They brought in the CDC, but it's been in partnership with the Department of Health. I was actually on the phone with the Attorney General of the United States. I think it was about 2 weeks ago when it first was noted that there were a significant number of cases, and we helped to coordinate the response to that. So we have been engaged, even though it's a federal responsibility. Alex.
My question is for Dr. Smith. You said in the future you're going to be counting on people to take personal responsibility when protecting themselves and others in public places. Does that mean you'll be moving away from specific directives and enforcement?
And again, Health Secretary Nate Smith.
The way we deal with most public health threats and most communicable diseases is we provide guidance. Only when needed do we offer specific regulation, and I think we would handle that in the same way. Hopefully we'll continue to see our COVID-19 cases in the community decrease, but it's likely we'll be having to deal with COVID-19 for some time. And as we move on, people are going to need to internalize those guidelines and directives and to implement them themselves without specifically being told. And as we are backing down on some of these directives, we're giving businesses and people more freedom to make choices. We have to internalize that process of making good and healthy choices. But ultimately, people do need to make those choices to protect themselves and their loved ones.
So for the bars, for example, does that mean there won't be a specific directive saying people going into bars have to wear masks?
Well, we will have language similar to what we've used for restaurants, but a month, 2 months from now, we will probably be relaxing guidelines rather than implementing new ones.
Does the bar guideline, does that include live entertainment and live music?
The question is, on the bars, does it include live entertainment and live music? Go ahead.
Some of that will be is already covered under the large indoor venues directive, I don't think that we would want to preclude live music from all those settings.
I'll take one more question. Is there any other question remotely?
Governor Hutchinson, Jacqueline Froelich at KUAF Public Radio. I just want to clarify, is there a connection between the several days of lost documents, pandemic unemployment assistance documents that are required to be uploaded? They were lost. Applicants were advised to re-upload, and some of that's taken, of course. Is there any connection between that and the vulnerability that was discovered and first reported to the Arkansas Times on Friday night?
I'm not aware of any connection, but I'm also not the technical expert there, so we can try to look into that further, but I'm not aware of any connection.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you all very much today. Great to be in Forest City, and we'll look forward to coming back. Thank you.
And that was Governor Asa Hutchinson speaking in his latest daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KYR Little Rock, a listener-supported service of UA Little Rock in partnership with UAMS. Just a brief update on what we heard from Governor Hutchinson speaking today in his daily briefing in Forest City over there in eastern Arkansas. Today, the state saw an additional 54 cases of the coronavirus, additional 54 positive test results. That brings the state's total number of people who have ever tested positive to 4,813. We have also seen two additional deaths from COVID-19 in the state. That brings the state's death toll to 100. Of that total number of cases, 1,068 are considered active. Also, over the weekend, we saw a rather sharp uptick in cases. On Saturday, we started the day with 4,578 cases. On Sunday, we saw an additional 181 people test positive. That of that, 131 came from prisons and 50 were from the community. Today, the increase was a little bit smaller, an increase of just 54. But of course, Governor Hutchinson speaking today from Forest City, the home of a federal prison, the FCI in Forest City, which has been a site of quite a significant number of coronavirus infections. The big announcement from today, which we were expecting that Governor Hutchinson would announce his decision on whether bars can reopen in Arkansas. His decision today, we heard that bars that are associated with restaurants, bar areas within restaurants, can open tomorrow. Of course, restaurants in Arkansas were allowed to reopen last Monday on a limited basis, but they were required to keep their bar areas closed. But now we heard that the state is allowing those to reopen tomorrow. Freestanding bars, businesses that are just bars, do not serve food, those can reopen a week from tomorrow. A week from tomorrow, of course, being Tuesday, May 26th, the date when bars, freestanding bars in Arkansas can reopen, of course, with some restrictions. Health Secretary Dr. Nate Smith saying those restrictions are still being fleshed out, but they will likely mirror a lot of the same restrictions that were placed on restaurants that are allowed to reopen with smaller capacity, physical distancing, hygiene, sanitation requirements. So that is the big news from today. But we also heard a bit of discussion on the pandemic unemployment assistance. That is a system of federal government payments coming from the CARES Act, as we've seen numerous other additional payments added for traditional unemployment benefits coming from the CARES Act, from the federal government. The pandemic unemployment assistance is for self-employed people, self-employed Arkansans, independent contractors, freelancers. While traditional unemployment, people have been receiving that for quite some time now here in Arkansas, as well as the additional benefits coming from the federal government. Self-employed Arkansans have not been able to receive those benefits. The state has said that that is because the system for dispersing those funds essentially did not exist, so they've had to essentially start from scratch, create a whole new system. So it's been a number of weeks that they have been working on that. But we did see about 30,000 people apply for that, and we saw the state roll that out last week. But late last week, we heard the Arkansas Times first reporting that a user of the site had discovered that it had a pretty significant security flaw, the new website that the state had created for that pandemic unemployment assistance application process, essentially. The Arkansas Times, again, reporting that a user of the site, a computer programmer, saw that there was a significant flaw in the state's website that left personal information vulnerable, like banking info, social security numbers. According to the Times, that user contacted the state police and the website was shut down. The state officials had hoped for checks to begin going out this week, but of course, because the website is shut down for patching of that security flaw, that of course means more delays. But we had heard over the weekend the governor essentially contradicting that report from the Arkansas Times, saying that essentially there was a security breach. It wasn't a case of someone noticing that there was a security breach and then notifying the authorities. The governor had previously said that essentially someone had exploited the data, which he said was a technical term for just visually seeing someone else's personal information rather than manipulating it using people's personal information for criminal gain. Today we heard the governor explaining that a little bit more. He said that he learned of the security flaw in the website through his office. He said that the website had already been taken down by the time he was aware of it. But he said because, in his words, this was a security breach because data was exploited, the matter is being investigated by law enforcement, in particular the FBI. So Governor Hutchinson saying that he is not the technical expert on cybersecurity, and so he is leaving it up to law enforcement, in particular the FBI, to determine if laws were broken, which laws were broken. But again, the report from the Arkansas Times saying that this was a case of essentially a Good Samaritan noticing that there was a security flaw in the website and then alerting state officials to correct that. So we will see what happens with that. We also heard briefly that the chair of the state Democratic Party is calling for an investigation into that, as well as an investigation into the Arkansas Ready for Business grant program. That's a series of grants for small businesses. There was a bit of controversy surrounding the rollout of that, allegations that it was rolled out prematurely, that some people had advance notice of that. So the chair of the Democratic Party of Arkansas calling for an investigation in that, when asked, Governor Hutchinson said that that is uncalled for. The state legislature committee of that, bipartisan committee of that, had already reviewed both of those things, and the governor saying that essentially the Democratic Party was using the pandemic for partisan attacks. Again, you've been listening to the governor's live daily briefing on the coronavirus outbreak in Arkansas. This is 89.1 KUAR Little Rock. Just the latest update, 4,813 total cases of the coronavirus here in the state. Of those, 1,068 are considered active. And an additional two deaths from COVID-19 we saw as in the past 24 hours, bringing the state's death toll to 100. Thanks for listening. Please tune in this afternoon to All Things Considered for more in-depth analysis, and again tomorrow morning on Morning Edition. And you can always read up on the latest reports that the KYR News team is producing on the coronavirus outbreak and all the topics related to that online at kyr.org. I'm Daniel Breen, and this is KYR News.